Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, happy Saturday to everyone. You are probably listening to this when it's not a Saturday, but it's Saturday for us.
Oh, yes. And I had some pancakes.
Oh, yes. Cracker Barrel.
Weekend's kind of my cheat. I kind of go all out. I eat really balanced, high protein, small meal, but then on Saturdays.
Right. Yeah, well, I have ended a job yesterday, so we've been celebrating a little bit more with getting really yummy food. Like last night, we got Olive Garden, and shout out to my private academies team. Woo-woo! Gonna miss you guys, but job transition. So, we just kind of been celebrating with food.
Comfort.
Yeah, comfort food. So, we're excited. So, anyway, shout out to Forest City, North Carolina.
Yes, Forest City.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for downloading. And thanks to everyone who listens to us. I know there's a lot of different places that you listen. You can listen on Spotify. Google has a podcast. You can listen on Buzzsprout. And where are my Apple Podcast people out there? We are so excited for all of y'all, but
Apple on downloading because we're in the top 50.
Yes, on the Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
United States of America religion.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, we found out about this chart the other day, and we've been definitely all over the place. But thank you, listeners. Oh, my goodness. So we took a look at the religion. Y'all needed, those of you that are Apple Podcasts, Apple fans that are listening on Apple Podcast, look at the chart, because there are
astrology, exorcisms, New Age,
all kind of stuff.
Everything you can think of that's not Christian.
There's even a sports one on there, so I don't know if they're worshiping.
Maybe they're worshiping sports.
I don't know. I mean, there's some really great ones on there that are really biblical, but
there are some that are biblical.
But there are a lot that are not, that are on the religion section. So look at that. Wouldn't recommend listening to some of these.
No, I'm not encouraging.
But look at the list, because it runs a wide gamut of different religions and things like that.
But so of course, our little podcast is doing pretty well.
We're excited. And it's thanks to you, our listeners. We're so appreciative of you. So thank you. Yes. And we would love it if you would review us on there. We would love that. And we would love for you to check out our website, graceintheshadowsor.org. Email us, drjonathan@graceintheshadowsor.org. If you have subjects you'd like us to talk about, if you have some things that you want to suggest to us, if you have prayer requests, if you're looking for a therapist, please reach out there. You can also text or call 251-244-4645. A couple more things. We do have an Etsy store, shadowsofgrace.etsy.com, where we are selling merchandise, Grace in the Shadows merchandise, along with some other fun things. Mm-hmm. So check that out. We also are an affiliate of Covenant Eyes, and Covenant Eyes is a porn blocker that you can put on all your devices and prevent your teenagers and children from seeing things that they don't need to see.
And also,
if someone is having difficulty with pornography, it will help with that too. And if you use our promo code GRACE1998, you will get the first month free. So do check those things out.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
So what kind of crazy facts do you have
crazy
for us, Dr. J?
This is interesting. Forrest Finn, an art dealer, an author, hid a treasure chest in the Rocky Mountains worth over $1 million. It still has not been found. Maybe we need to make a trip out there to the Rocky Mountains. Let's do it.
That would definitely help with the mystery we want to build.
We'd probably be out there for a million years trying to find, never finding it. But
I wonder how many people are looking for it now.
Probably quite a few. And then after this podcast, we'll probably maybe more.
Probably more. So if you live in that area, go jump on the bandwagon and look for it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
The tongue is the only muscle in one's body that's attached from one end.
So the tongue is
God is creative. I mean, think about
it. He is creative.
I think I'll make the tongue and he'll have that one end.
Yeah. And are you a tongue roller or a non-tongue roller? I can't tell.
I'm a tongue roller.
If you could only see us right now, we would scare you. Tongue rollers, that is a genetic.
Genetic.
Yes, we are both tongue rollers. So, some people can't roll their tongues. Some people have skinny tongues. Some people have fat tongues.
What a podcast today, guys. What a podcast. The tongue. Well, there is a company in Japan that has schools that teach you how to be funny.
Oh.
The first one opened in 1982. About 1,000 students take a course each year.
We should go.
Maybe we should take one.
Yeah, we think we're funny. we crack ourselves up, but we're not that funny. Maybe we should go. All right, cool. All right. Yeah. Anything else? You got one more?
Well, we knew Elvis was originally a blonde. This keeps coming up on my But he was blonde.
Mm-hmm.
It came up again. He used shoe polish. Now, that's kind of, that would be sticky.
Well, you know, back then, that was like the style. They would slick back their hair with various and sundry things, and it was kind of greasy looking, but that was the style. But can you imagine trying to wash your hair? I guess it would eventually like stay dark because of it, but yeah, shoe polish, and it's kind of smelly. Have you ever polished your shoes?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's got a smelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, Elvis. Elvis fans. Mm-hmm. Elvis has left the building.
The first service animals were established in Germany during World War I, but reference to service animals date as far back as the mid-16th century.
Wonder, well, what kind of service animals do they have back then? You don't know, do you?
I don't know. I have to do some research on
that. Yeah. All right. Well, they did. We read something where you could no longer take your service. Was it your service pig or service something on a pig?
Service snake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't even make a play for that. There was a article about somebody wanted to take some kind of service animal on a plane. They said, no, we don't allow that animal anymore. So if you have a service animal or an emotional support animal, which they don't usually let those on, it has to be like official service. Check it out before you go flying because you want to make sure that you can bring that animal.
That's true. That's good. That's good news report.
But I'm just going to tell you right now, Dr. J.
What?
There will be no service snakes or service emotional snakes. Support snakes in this house.
Okay.
Or any other house we ever live in.
All right.
Okay.
Well, fair enough.
Okay. We just want you to, I just got to put that out there for you.
Well, today's topic is very interesting.
It's a cool topic today. I think you're going to like
it. God and the Bengals.
God and the Bengals.
What in the world? God and the Bengals.
Hey, the Bengals are looking pretty good. I know that you wanted a Bengals sweatshirt, and I looked and was going to surprise you one, but they're all sold out.
Oh, they're sold out.
They're sold out. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying an expensive one.
Joe Burrow jersey.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can keep on wanting. But anyway,
I'm from Cincinnati.
You are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have been a Cincinnati Bengals fan even when they were nothing.
And our kids were born in Florence, Kentucky, which is very close to Cincinnati. So, you know, we have roots there. You have family there. Mm-hmm. So you're a Bengals fan. Our son is a Bengals fan.
Go Joe.
Now, our daughter is not a Bengals fan.
She likes the Steelers.
I don't know about her.
Bless her heart.
We love you, but I don't know about you. But anyway, so Bengals. So how long have you been liking the Bengals?
Ever since I was in my mother's womb.
Okay.
It was predestined before the foundation of the world.
All righty then. Have you ever been to like a live Bengals game?
I have.
How many?
I've been to a couple. I've been to the Chargers in the 80s.
Okay.
And I went to a Jets game as well in the 80s.
All right.
All in the 80s.
Who's your favorite historical Bengals player?
Well, you know, I think my favorite historical one.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting you on the spot here.
You know, I used to like the Icky Woods.
Oh, that's an
interesting. He did the Icky Shuffle.
Oh, okay.
He'd
look that
dance
up.
At the, he'd do this dance. I don't even know if he could do it anymore.
He is doing the dance, y'all.
And I used to like Kenny Anderson and Boomer Esiason. But, you know, I think Joe Burrow is and I'm not just saying
he's on the team now, right?
He's a quarterback. Come on. Wait, you got your head in the sand.
Well, you know, I just kind of sit with you while you watch it.
I think he's probably one, if not the best quarterback in history.
Okay. Why? What makes him the best?
He's Cool Joe. Joe Cool.
Well, he does have a really good fashion flair. Where they always show him in his little fashionable outfits.
Yeah, and he's very cool under stress.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's kind of anxiety inside and looks cool on the outside.
Because that can be done.
Oh, it's, yeah. I do it.
So, well, I do too.
Yeah, I'm kind of introspective. Yeah. I may look totally relaxed, but inside.
So, like, you're anxious? I'm like, oh, you just don't even know. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, yeah. Bengals. They played in the snow last week.
Many people say because they were kind of camouflaged. Uh-huh. Some people out there in Buffalo. We're friends with Buffalo.
Sorry.
But, yeah, you know, I can maybe see a tiny bit of their point.
Okay.
But it's tiny, and it would not have factored into being destroyed.
So they won because they're good.
They won because they're good.
Not because of the snow. Not because of camouflage. And because they've got, they do have a really good quarterback.
There may be a couple of plays that messed up their the way eye coordination and seeing the snow and the and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I doubt it. I don't think it had much of a factor at all.
I agree. And I think our dog is not a Bengals fan because he is telling us what he thinks right now. You may notice that we had a little pause there because we had to have a chat with our non-Bengal fan dog.
I think he is a Chiefs fan.
He must be something. But anyway, okay, give me one more just wonderful fact about the Bengals, and then you can jump into what all you want to tell us about.
They have never won a Super Bowl. They've been three times.
They were there last year.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and they didn't win.
So they're going to win this year.
Okay.
Lord willing.
All right. Okay.
Lord willing.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah.
All right.
God and the Bengals.
Okay, God and the Bengals.
God and the Bengals. You know, several weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, Buffalo safety and the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals played on a Monday night.
Yes.
And Damar Hamlin, you know, got hit. And yeah. I think he literally went in cardiac arrest.
He did.
Almost died.
Yeah, he had a hit. And he got back up, and everybody thought he was going to be okay, and he just went kerplunk.
He fell.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, people, a lot of the news people and a lot of the announcers are very anti-prayer a lot of times, anti-God, anti-Jesus.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're very careful to not say praise Jesus or, you know, mention God's name or anything like that. I mean, but it was like the world just kind of stopped.
Everybody was praying.
And started praying.
Yeah.
And we were sitting here, you know, watching the television and we were looking at the newscasters, you know, talking on about prayer, and we looked at each other like, what just happened?
I think that we all know we're dying. We are all mortal. You saw a strong young man out there playing
ball. Very strong.
Very athletic.
Yeah.
Fall over.
It was.
It could have very well died. As a matter of fact, you know, they had to do CPR on him.
Yeah.
And so when we see this, we know we're all mortal.
We are, and it brings it really back to the forefront of your mind. Right of that, also, you know, Elisa Marie Presley died, you know, and so there's just been a whole lot. And that really, you know, these are people, I mean, like, she's people we grew up with. This guy on the Bills is somebody that, you know, everybody's watching, good health, you know, and you think, wow, if this is happening.
You know, we look at this and, you know, when people realize how mortal they are, we try to Novocaine our pain.
How so?
We try to we Novocaine our pain through, and I'm going to get into some of this a little bit later. We Novocaine our pain through success, through money, through alcohol, through drugs, through sex, through, well, even, I hate to say it, even like entertainment, like sports.
Oh, yeah.
We're so numb to reality.
Right.
I think the enemy. Satan, he tries to keep us so busy and so
wrapped
maybe
up,
partially fulfilled.
Yeah.
Partially fulfilled with little things that really mean nothing.
Right. But when this happened, everybody like stopped and thought, wow, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. Yeah.
And so we look at this and I want to talk about today, you know, I want to kind of ask the same question that Job asked.
Okay.
4,000 years ago, Job asked this question, Job 14:14, if someone dies, will they live again?
Hmm.
In other words, is death a period in the sentence of life, or is it just a comma?
Ah.
You know, that is.
I like that. Is it just a comma?
Cool. That's an important question because there's something that life has in common with with a streak, with a book, with a movie, and that is it ends.
It ends.
It has an ending.
Yeah.
And our life has an ending, and your life has an ending just as surely as it had a beginning.
Right.
And you know what the percentage of, you know, the human race has a perfect record of 100% of dying.
That is true. I mean, I laugh, but it is true. I mean, everybody's going to die, except for those people that someday get raptured, which will be amazing. But that's a discussion for another time. Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's, the first question we have to ask is, do we believe in life after death? I would say everyone does.
Everyone does, even though they say they don't. You know, anybody that says, oh, I just go back to dirt and it's nothing, they don't really believe that, I don't think.
I heard a story about a young man who called into his office and said he would have to miss 2 days from work because his grandmother's funeral.
Oh.
When he showed back up at work, his boss came up to him and said, do you believe in life after death? The young man with puzzled look said, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. His boss said, man, that makes me feel so much better. The young man said, why? What are you talking about? He said, yesterday while you were attending your grandma's funeral, she stopped by to visit you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I bet he didn't have that job anymore.
Oh, he's fired.
Yeah. So, make sure before you give it a work excuse, you let everybody know that.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says, and I believe the Bible is the book.
Oh, yes.
It is a historical book. It's alive. It's the only book that the author is present when we're reading it.
Absolutely.
And presents the reason why we die and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And Adam and Eve, our great-great-grandma and grandfather, chose to disobey God. And we inherit a terminal illness called sin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before we're so quick to judge them, we would have done the same thing.
Of course
we
would.
Probably sooner. So, yeah.
So by one man, sin entered the world.
Right.
And so death passed upon, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, we die.
Mm-hmm.
We die.
Yes.
On the cross, Jesus experienced physical death.
Mm-hmm.
The difference from Adam died because he was a sinner. Jesus had never sinned, chose to die as a substitute for our sin. And he paid our penalty on the cross that by grace through faith, we have eternal life. By dying, he showed he was a man. By rising from the dead, resurrecting, we have eternal life. And we can say as Paul, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Amen. I love that. I love that.
But I want the transition.
Okay.
Here's a question Jesus asked. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world or forfeit his own soul?
That's a good question.
And I think, we can forfeit our own souls.
Yeah, we can.
By the things we talked about earlier, the things of the world.
Right. Yeah.
We can starve our soul.
We can. And even as a Christian, we do that, daily. We forget sometimes, how dependent we are on God, and we put other things in his place, things that we definitely have to repent about. But yeah, we do.
Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered the devil and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The rich man in Jesus' story in Luke 16, he lived well, he enjoyed life, he dressed in purple. Purple meant he was like a rich guy. He was probably very popular, never really thought about his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he only lived for this world.
Yeah.
And so the bread sustains the body, but the word of God sustains the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The rich man had no taste for the word of God, no hunger for it, nor the appetite of things of God.
Hmm. And when we're doing that, we are starving our soul. We're not putting ourselves, in a position to really depend on God. We're more so depending on ourselves.
Well, Satan said in Genesis chapter 3 that you'll be like God.
Yeah.
And so when we're separated from God prior to salvation, we are living as our own God.
Yes, we are.
So we're living and saying, I don't need God.
Yeah.
So when you had all millions of people watching that football game on the Monday night, including myself.
Yes.
And you see this young, strong person fall over and everybody's thinking he's probably going to die.
Right.
Thank God he didn't. We're still praying for him. But when you see this, you think of your own life, and it brings back, it kind of jars you into a good trauma to think about your own soul.
It really jolted the world.
It did.
You know, even non-football people, you know, were jolted because you could not get away from the story. I mean, like we've talked about before, you know, it came across all the news media, all the notifications, you know, we saw it on Facebook, we saw it on Twitter, we saw it on Instagram, you know, we saw it come across our phones, you know, you could not get away from it. And it really gave the world pause.
You know, Jesus told another story about a man who lived in the American dream and worked hard. He stored up all the things he needed, retirement. He said to himself, you know, Jesus says, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to enjoy myself. I've earned it." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you."
Yes.
I want to, you know, we look at this as we get older. We've worked hard. We're enjoying our retirement. We're having fun. We're enjoying going out and enjoying life. But at the same time, we need to be thinking of our soul. There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the work, you know, the profits of our work. But we need to be concerned about our soul. And I think when that young man fell over going into cardiac arrest, that many people began to think of their own mortality. And that was a good thing.
It was a good thing. It was really shocking, though. But, you know, we talked about the fact is they didn't talk about Buddha. They didn't talk about Muhammad.
No, they didn't.
They were talking about, "We're praying for this young man, you know, praying that God will heal him."
Jesus.
They were sitting there on national television. No one knew at that point if he was alive or not and if he was going to be okay. And the world was like looking and clinging to God.
Suddenly, Tim Tebow didn't look so dumb anymore.
True.
They didn't just stop making fun of him.
Well, and they likened it, which, you know, I don't know if this is really comparison, but I heard some people saying that, you know, it was like 9-1-1 when the world, 9-11, when the world turned back to God. It was like everybody was turning to God. So it shows you that even though this world claims to be against Jesus,
they know he's Lord.
When they something like this happens, look where everybody turned.
Subconsciously, they know he's king. They know he's God. They know he's Savior.
And, you know, who knows if those, you know, sportscasters are Christians or not? Who even knows? I don't know. I don't even remember who I was talking about. I do know that that shows you that at some point in their lives, they've heard about Jesus because that's where they were going.
You know, and then we can also strangle our soul.
Yes.
Mark 4:19, Jesus says, "The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of the other things enter in and choke the word," proves unfruitful.
Absolutely.
You know, we get so busy with our schedules, the things of the world, or, you know, whether it could be kids at multiple activities, it could be work stuff, it could be the things that are going on. And so when we look at this,
what are you doing to the dog?
He really cannot take the bagel.
Sorry, guys.
This dog really is having problems with the bagel. We need to get him some counseling. We need to share the gospel.
All right, Si. The Bengals are a good team. Stop it.
But basically, when we're so busy and wrapped up in this world, it begins to choke the word. It begins to choke us to where we're not looking to God.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. We can surrender our soul. This is what we need to do.
Oh, yes, we do need to surrender our soul every day. I mean, it says that in the Bible.
You hear that, Si? You need to surrender your soul. you know, 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul."
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, we're declaring war. Mm-hmm. You know, God says that our passions of the flesh wage war. Mm-hmm. We're at war.
Well, I mean, he even tells us to put on his armor. I mean, so, you know, that really shows you. And if you, that's in Ephesians. If you don't know that passage, look it up. It's a really good passage. He tells us we need to put on our armor, put on the armor of God every day. And so that shows that we are, you know, fighting a battle, and we have to, you know, center our minds on Jesus, not on the world. And, you know, we have to take up his sword, and we have to take up his shield, you know, because he is there for us, and he's the one that we need to go to in a crisis and when things are wonderful as well. So, yeah.
You know, I think there's two extremes here. I think one, we can make our sins to the point where we are self-atoning.
True.
We feel like we're not good enough and that God can never love us.
Right.
And we could, you know, we begin to almost self-atone.
Uh-huh.
But there's another extreme, and I think it's where we, you know, God forgives me, so I'm going to go on to sin. You know, that's not biblical either. We are at war.
Right.
And I think we need to be honest with God. We need to repent, and we need to move forward in the battle.
Yes.
Because the enemy wants us to go backwards. The enemy wants us to ignore. He wants us to create new ways of well, not new at all. He just reinvents ways that will hinder our walk with Christ.
But, you know, I was during this game and after and everything, and thankfully they say the player's going to be okay, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I was encouraged by the fact that the world did pause and the world didn't go crazy. And everybody did say, let's pray for this young man. And it says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we prayed. People prayed for this young man. And the world didn't say, oh, my goodness, we're devastated. This is awful. The world said, you know, let's pray. And that's what everybody did. And that just really encouraged me. And, you know, if you're listening to this today and maybe you came across it because you're a Bengals fan or you were interested, you know, we can't leave this podcast without telling you, if you don't know Jesus, it's very simple to accept him. People make it harder than it is. But if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is pray and ask him into your heart. Tell him that you're sorry for your sins. Tell him that you want to live for him. Tell him that you want him to be your Savior and Lord. And you can do that today. And you will know that when you die, you will definitely go to heaven, that you will have a comma, and then you'll jump into heaven. And it won't be a period of eternal death for you. Mm-hmm. So I do hope, and if you have questions about that, I do hope that you'll reach out to us. You know, we do have our email address, drjonathan@graceintheshadowsor.org. And you can call us or text us, 251-244-4645. We would be happy to talk to you about becoming a Christian. And maybe this woke you up when you saw this and you heard everybody talking about praying, and you said, you know, I am a Christian, but I've not been praying. I really need to get myself together and really depend on Jesus. So maybe, you know, maybe this situation woke you up.
I used to think that, you know, the Jesus thing was kind of just a for weak people and kind of just made up to control people and all this.
Right.
But when I got saved, when I received Christ by what you just said.
Yeah.
It all opened up to me, and the Bible is more, God is more real than we are.
Oh, yeah.
His existence, the reality of faith and the need of salvation. This life is not it.
No, it is not. And, you know, you need to choose Jesus. You definitely do. And like I said, if you have questions about that, if you'd like to talk to us, please reach out. And hey, so the Bengals, are they going to the Super Bowl, or is it decided yet? Or you know me, I don't know much about football.
They play the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow.
Okay.
And I believe they're going to win. Of course, I'm going to say they're going to win the whole thing.
And if they win, they're going to Super Bowl.
Yes. I believe this is my prediction, and I could be wrong. It's going to be Cincinnati and Philadelphia.
All right. Well,
I could be wrong.
You could be wrong.
Then I could be right.
You could be right.
But I think Cincinnati is going to win the whole thing this year.
All right. Well, God and the Bengals, we do hope that you know Jesus. And, you know, it's great if you're also a Bengals fan. You can reach out to us and tell us that. We would love to hear that.
You know, a lot of people say, will there be football like in the New Kingdom? All this? You know, there could be.
There's
nothing innately sinful about a sport.
There's not. You're right.
But we could be playing sports even with Jesus in the
All right.
you know. And so people think heaven's going to be boring. You're going to be on some.
No.
That's a lie from the devil, too.
Absolutely.
That's a lie from the devil, too.
All right, Dr. J. So if you stumbled upon our podcast today and because you're a Bengals fan or you were interested with God and the Bengals, do check out the rest of our podcast. We've got things about marriage, mental health, biblical characters, narcissism, all kind of stuff.
Bad dogs.
Yes, bad dogs that bark during the middle of the podcast because they're not Bengals fans. But definitely, and those of you that are listening and have been listening to us, we really appreciate you. God bless you. Remember that.
God can take your mess, turn it to a message for his glory, for your good.
Have a good day. Okay.